voting for a crossing at Flanders since 2002. I just did a count recently about how many times we voted for the Sobey Island Bridge, and we're up to 4 votes over the last 2 years. And the Business Association, with the Business Association, our joint transportation, they've voted on it another 2 times. And so we've been voting on this for years and pushing really hard to get this to happen. And the reason why is it's a bigger vision. Ultimately, what happens when you come to the Pearl, you move here with your 2 cars, you sell one because you never drive it, and then you realize driving a car is a pain in the neck, and then you start walking and using bicycles. And that is what happens when you move to the Pearl, and we need to make that better. It's been an issue for years and years and years, and so we have a vision. We already are pedestrian district. We're going to end up a bicycle district, and it's not just about us. It's about connecting to the entire city. I mean, I just cannot say that over and over again about how Flanders connects the west side to the east side in a path that's not about cars, not about cars at all. And I just want to say briefly and clearly, over and over, everybody I talk to about this sees this as a symbol of a commitment to other forms of transportation. Just an incredible symbol. It's a symbol of our culture, the culture of Portland as a green, sustainable city, and it exemplifies everything that is about Portland. I mean, people are tremendously excited about it. And regarding financing, the only reason we haven't raised more money is because it hasn't been a real project. The moment is a real project. We've got people lined up. It's ready to go. So make it real. We'll raise the money. I am not worried about that whatsoever. So thank you very much.
I'm Catherine Ciarlo. I served on the original stakeholder advisory committee that kind of formalized the idea in the first place. I think I talked last time I was in front of you about watching the kind of community and committee excitement that coalesced around the project. And I see that carried one step further in adding the Sobey Island Bridge element to it. We've turned it from a bicycle safety and connectivity project into a community place project and a recycling and sustainability project. It has so many benefits. I want to talk briefly about the connection to the east side of the city and then to the extensive trail network that we're developing even beyond that. When you think about going from OMSI to the Steel Bridge, across the river, and up to the Pearl District, you start to see you're really connecting the city. And I think that's important because the fact is the central city, Patty may not like this, but it belongs to all of us.
Absolutely.
We work here. We come here to play. We come here to eat. We come here to shop. We bring our out-of-town visitors here. We would like to do that on foot. We'd like to do it on bike. So even for those of us who don't live in the neighborhood, it's an important connection to what our city is. And finally, I do want to thank Commissioner Adams for his tenacity. I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman for your willingness to work and negotiate this on this. And I want to speak to this issue of other projects. And I think there are a vast backlog of projects, bicycle projects and pedestrian projects, that need to be paid for in Portland. We are not going to do it with the $2 million that this project would cost us. We're going to do it by completely rethinking the way we fund transportation and prioritize transportation projects in our city. I think Safe, Sound, and Green Streets was an excellent step in that direction. We have some big issues to tackle and a long way to go, but I encourage you to not do that on the back of this fabulous, lovely project. Thank you.
Paul Noddy, Nelson Abiel, Susan Kubota.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You have 2 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Paul Noddy. I live at 1553 Southeast Spokane Street. I am in support of this project and in the bike boulevards and Safe, Sound, and Green Streets. Not to duplicate what has already been said, but I want to just emphasize livability. I am a father, and I have children that ride bicycles. Currently, my street on Southeast Spokane Street is unsafe due to increased traffic, and increased traffic makes streets less safe. It causes accidents. It increases crime, and this bike project that is being proposed will improve livability. It'll encourage people to take the bike versus driving their car. It'll address things like parking. It'll address things like crime. In terms of cost and benefit, it is very cost effective. The city spends millions of dollars trying to reduce crime, trying to alleviate traffic, trying to plan a more effective urban environment for livability. The population is growing. And we also, as a city, are trying to address climate change and reduce greenhouse gases. Bike boulevards will do all of those things. They will encourage people to go to the store on their bike or walk instead of driving. They will connect the city, and they will make the city even more of a better place, more livable place to live. So when the last speaker was referring to going from OMSI all the way to the Pearl, why don't we go from Southeast Portland all the way to the Pearl? Because bike boulevards connecting in the north, in the northwest, and in the southeast, these projects that have been proposed by Commissioner Adams and part of the Safe, Sound, and Green Streets will do those things. I just want to say for the record that as a Sellwood resident, we have been communicating and on record with the city of our support for bike boulevards and for steps to improve livability with bicycle boulevards that connect the city. Thank you.
I am Dr. Susan Kubota, and I am an anesthesiologist and a safety advocate. 8 years ago, my father died suddenly. My father's death was difficult for me because I was his little girl. Mayor Potter, I really want to believe in you with your gentle, paternalistic, calming demeanor. So I direct my testimony today to you, to the op-ed you posted in yesterday's Oregonian. My heart goes out to the poor citizens of Cully Boulevard you keep referring to. So after reading your statement, I drove to the neighborhood yesterday to see the sidewalkless street you speak of. I agree, it is pathetic that this 0.4-mile strip of street has been waiting 3 years to get sidewalks to walk on, especially since in the past 12 years there have been 2 pedestrian cyclist collisions there. But on the PDOT map of most dangerous intersections, as Sam referred to, there have been significantly more pedestrian fatalities in the central and southeast sections of the city, and there are many other streets without sidewalks in this town. As you wrote, it isn't true that the entire $5.5 million can't be used in other areas, but it also isn't true that the $5.5 million could be used everywhere else in the city on anything. I won't repeat Sam's specifics on the funding, but there are many worthy projects in the city of Portland, but you are misleading your children when you imply and allow the media to imply that all of the aforementioned funds could be used throughout the city. Don't soften reality with the term accident. The collisions tracked by the dangerous intersection report all resulted in serious injury or death. The central cities surrounding Flanders I-405 crossing are among the most dangerous intersections in Portland. The Northwest Flanders site is not on the list because it's not an intersection. No reported collisions have occurred on Northwest Flanders, which is why it is the safest street to funnel many cyclists and pedestrians that travel through this section of town. I believe the Sabi Bridge reuse plan, my niece Tracy would have used and enjoyed this heritage bridge if she were still alive. Instead, I would like to take comfort in the knowledge that Tracy's classmates, co-workers, and most important, dear friends will be able to use this bridge in a year's time and avoid some of the deadliest intersections of this city. You said one accident anywhere is too many. I say one more pedestrian or cyclist death in this city is inexcusable when such an elegant solution is dropped in your lap. Another death like Tracy's is too great a price to pay. She was her father's little girl, and it will not be fair for another family to suffer like mine. There is no equity in death. I am very disheartened to realize it is not about fairness and equity, it's about politics. I implore you to please rise above this all and stay true to the promise and hope you gave to Portland when you first took office. Please support the reuse of the Sabi Bridge.
My name is Nelson Nabil. I reside at 13th Northwest 13th in Flanders, and I was a founding member of the Pearl District Neighborhood Association. I was the president of the Pearl District Neighborhood Association from 1996 to 2002. And I just want to say that I think that the idea of moving the Sovie Island Bridge was another one of the crazy, innovative ideas that have come out of the last 15 years in the Pearl District. I have been there for 16 years. I bought a building on a dirt street, which is now a federal urban historic district, Northwest 13th Avenue, one of the few federal historic districts in Portland. It was a dream in people's eyes that has now become a urban alley that people all over the city come to look at. We have parks that were created by the genius of some of the developers there that were designed, and I was interesting to hear earlier today about South Park Block Number 5. We've got two world-class parks, Jameson Square and Tanner Springs Park. This idea came totally out of the community and the idea that the Sovie Island Bridge Span was available to be bought. And I have been on a committee that will raise money. We will go after available funds once this project really takes off. And to answer Dan Saltzman, the I-405 fund, which is administered by the Oregon Community Foundation, was one of the first places that I went for money. I was told that we could only go after the income on an annual basis by application. We will be applying there, but there are business people and organizations that are ready to give money for this project, believe me. Thank you.
Thanks. Gene Harrison, Jay Graves, Karen Bikey. Bikay, sorry. And that's it.
Thank you. Jean Harrison. Today I'm representing the Willamette Pedestrian Coalition. We support the project, and we support the ordinance today for some very important reasons. Contrary to some of the comments I've seen written, the existing crossings at I-405 are not safe for pedestrians. Burnside, Cooch, Everett, and Flanders only have a narrow sidewalk on one side of the overpasses. If you don't know which side to cross on, you find yourself facing a 2-foot walkway or have to cross traffic again to get to the still narrow sidewalks. The number of pedestrian and bicycle crashes and injuries is very high on these streets. That's why Flanders is the best crossing option. At all the other crossings, on and off ramps, with heavy, fast-moving traffic is what you face. And at Cooch, which is the street I use most often, you have to look behind you to see the oncoming traffic, which is racing to get to the freeway ramp. The Sovie Island Bridge is due to be dismantled early this summer. If it isn't floated up the river, it will be lost forever. Not only is the bridge attractive and historic, but it's also just a good idea to reuse the bridge instead of building a new crossing out of new steel. Sustainability and reuse should be on everyone's minds. The Flanders Crossing has been approved as part of the Burnside-Cooch planning process and as part of the city's transportation system plan. While it may not be everybody's highest priority, it's a good project, and if delayed, will result in a 15-foot wide span that won't be built for at least 5 to 7 years. The Sovie Island Bridge will create a wide span with ample space for pedestrians and bicyclists. It's good for both of the neighborhoods, and it's good for the community. And especially, it will be create a safe link for pedestrians across the city. Yes, projects in other parts of town are important and needed, but this opportunity is now and shouldn't be missed. The Willamette Pedestrian Coalition will lobby just as hard for other projects benefiting walkers, but right now, we want to be an advocate for what we consider a great and exciting opportunity for pedestrians. Thank you.
My name is Karen Vitke, and I reside at Northwest 20th in Flanders. I commute by bike between my home in the Northwest and work on the east side nearly every day of the year. A bicycle and pedestrian-only bridge located at Flanders over I-405 would significantly improve the quality and safety of the journey I take each day. I personally experienced the fear of nearly being hit by a vehicle as it accelerated towards the on-ramp at Everett. As I braced for impact within the vehicle's headlights, the driver noticed me at the very last minute and came to a screeching halt. Another unrecorded near miss. I cringe at the memory of this experience every day as I cautiously proceed through the intersection. While I applaud recent improvements at Everett, the crossings at Cooch, Everett, and Gleason remain dangerous obstacles. A bicycle and pedestrian-only bridge would significantly reduce the number of potential conflicts, crashes, and fatalities at each of these points. I realize that neighborhoods exist which need basic improvements such as accessible sidewalks. I further realize that the cost of reutilizing the Sovie Island Bridge is higher than fees required to construct a new bridge. I still urge you to support the relocation and reuse of the Sovie Bridge, as this is a rare opportunity only available to us now. Please fill the void in the Flanders Bicycle Boulevard that your voting constituents have been waiting years for. Let's continue to work towards complete streets with bicycle and pedestrian facilities for all neighborhoods. At the same time, let us not pass this unique opportunity to showcase our commitment to reuse, community character, historic preservation, and platinum-level bicycle and pedestrian facilities. Let us not simply build a bridge. Let us tell the unique story of who we are as a city, where we have been, and where we are going as a community. Thank you.
Mayor Potter, Commissioners, Jay Graves. I am the owner of the Bike Gallery Stores here in Portland. Sam, I want to thank you for your presentation, your thorough presentation this morning. And in lieu of duplicating my testimony from the last session, I'd first like to also thank both of you for your questions about the funding this morning, because it's a very confusing and difficult to understand project and process. Without duplicating all the other reasons of sustainability and good for the neighborhood and safety and environmental aspects, one position that I haven't heard talked about is the economic development that this project provides. We see numerous people coming to the city to visit us because of our bike friendliness. We have employees who move specifically to Portland and come work for us because of our bicycle friendliness. And I don't see those numbers represented anywhere in this process. And I think that that is a missing link to another reason why this project should be approved. I also want to thank the City of Portland for the work that it's done up until now. And as the paper this morning recorded, received the platinum status from the League of American Bicyclists yesterday, and I want to thank all of you for the work that you've done over the years to help us get there. And I would argue that now that we have platinum status, we're going to see many, many more people coming here to see our marvelous network. Thank you.
How many folks do we have signed up to testify?
We have 16.
You know, Commissioner Leonard, we're not having a vote today, so that may be part of your consideration. Please call the first three.
James B. Lee, John Reinhold, Terry Parker. They'll be followed by Chris Worth, Dorothy Gage, Beverly Vogt.
My name is James Lee. I reside on Southeast Mitchell Street. I speak only for myself. Thank you for hearing me today. I must also give the disclaimer that I am currently a candidate for mayor. I respectfully request that this ordinance be withdrawn because it's two reasons, basically. Cooney Construction has given us no warranty whatever that the bridge is either structurally safe in its present condition or that it will be structurally safe when it is reinstalled. And I asked the mayor's office last week to have the city attorney provide an opinion on this as to the nature of the warranty. I don't think there is one, reading the Cooney report. The second thing is in the piece of information you have before it, you must know that any bridge built before 1970 will not meet seismic standards as of the 1983 AASHTO requirements. So you really don't know that you don't know what CUNY is giving us. You do not know that the ODOT or the federal government will actually permit you to install this bridge. I was at a candidates forum last night when Commissioner Leonard said that he would like the Water Bureau to have a facility in Southwest Portland in case our bridges fall down and you can't get them in an earthquake. Okay, we're in the Cascadia subduction zone, the worst earthquake zone in the world, probably, and you're going to try to put up a seismically inadequate bridge over a freeway when you don't even know how to build the foundations for it. So I respectfully request this ordinance be withdrawn until the project plans, including all the seismic standards, have been laid out in a comprehensible report so the citizens can form an unemotional engineering fact-based judgment on the project. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Potter. My name is John Reinhold. I live in Southeast Portland. I'd first like to comment that if we cannot retrofit bridges built before a certain date for seismic stability, then almost none of our bridges in the entire region are going to be able to be retrofitted for seismic stability. So I would wager that it can be done and has been done, both when they rebuilt the Hawthorne, or when they retrofitted the Hawthorne Bridge and the Burnside Bridge and the Steel Bridge and all of these, the St. John's Bridge. I believe that seismic retrofit was part of those projects, so I would discount that as a factor to cancel the project. As I stated, I live in Southeast Portland, and I have a nephew who attends the Art Institute in the Pearl District, and my six-year-old daughter and one of her best friends, who also lives in Southeast Portland, are regular attendees at the Northwest Children's Theater immediately to the west of this proposed crossing. One factor that I feel is continually left out is the fact that there are thousands of children immediately to the west of this proposed crossing. There are schools, churches, parks immediately to the west of 405 in this area. And I believe it's quite disingenuous to say that we need to protect children by building sidewalks in one part of town, and yet the children in this particular location are not deserving of a pedestrian overpass. I support this project, and I believe that Commissioner Adams' office has done an outstanding job of exposing the more information than we get on almost any other type of project that I have seen. And I would like to voice my thanks for all of you for hearing my testimony.
Thank you. Terry Parker, I live in Northeast Portland. I'm speaking for myself today. If the City Council can find $5.5 million for another one of Commissioner Adams' unnecessary pet projects for one of Portland's most affluent neighborhood, the money can also be found using the same funding mechanisms without raising taxes to renew the ailing Selwood Bridge for Multnomah County and the drivers of 30,000 vehicles that use it daily. When built in 1926, the Selwood Bridge was constructed from recycled parts. Today, that historic structure can be refurbished without a costly relocation, as can the Columbia River crossing for transit, local, bicycle, etc. Given Commissioner Adams' ability to locate resources, exhume, and spend the public's money, he should also be able to uncover all the necessary resources to adequately maintain streets and roads, pave unimproved streets, build modest sidewalks where they are truly needed, all without levying a street maintenance fee or adding taxes on motorists. Moreover, the primary issue here is that Commissioner Adams is once again divisively demonstrating how fast and loose he can be at making backroom deals and using the public dollars for yet another special interest transport frill. If safety was truly a factor or a concern of his in overall transport planning, the proposal would not be on the table to narrow motor vehicle lanes on portions of nearby West Burnside to less than the width of a TriMet bus and most large trucks. When it comes to bicycle safety, it is not about some perceived designation label a special interest group or magazine bestows on Portland. Bicycle safety must start with the bicyclists themselves, including an attitude change that requires strict bicycle enforcement, mandating bicyclists follow the rules of the road instead of deliberately blowing through stop signs, intentionally running through red lights, and otherwise ignoring traffic laws they expect others to obtain. The bottom line is that if the wealthy Pearl District developers want this bridge to help them sell more multi-million dollar condos, then a large portion of the cost to relocate this bridge ought to come from the profits of those condos. If the freeloading bicycle community wants this bridge, the pedal pushers also need to be willing to tax themselves to help pay for it, either through a bicycle tax and or toll or registration fee. If Portland belongs to all of us, as Commissioner Adams makes claim to in his bid for mayor, then all of us, including bicyclists, ought to be directly paying transportation taxes like motorists already do. What is needed at City Hall is not just more transparency, but the genuine physical accountability to all of us taxpayers, and not just giving away the store to special interests. In this case, a bridge for some freeloaders. Thank you.
Please call the next three.
Next is Chris Worth, Dorothy Gage, Marianne Fitzgerald. They'll be followed by Rick Potestio, Jeremy Grand, and Mary Roberts.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you each have 2 minutes.
Mayor Potter and commissioners, my name is Chris Worth, and I am here today as a citizen of East Portland. Specifically, I'd like to ask you to not proceed with the Sovy Island Bridge Relocation Project at this time, as I believe those resources could better be used to address existing prioritized issues in East County. If you don't know East Portland intimately, as an example, it's an area where children are forced to walk down streets without sidewalks, for example. We already have heard today the benefits of what street improvements can do for a community. When comparing East Portland to other areas of the city, East Portland clearly continues to be an area of increasing community disparities. Problems such as lack of infrastructure, safety, land use planning, and development, including tree canopy preservation, are all issues, which were identified as far back as 1996, 12 years from today, which were left mostly unaddressed and then overwhelmingly reiterated by extensive community feedback reflected in the 2007 East Portland Action Plan. In theory, I support the concept of reusing the Sovy Island Bridge. However, with scarce resources available, I'm concerned that the East Portland actions will not be addressed as dedicated, and East Portland will continue to be a forgotten community where community disparities dominate the landscape. Instead, I ask you to first assure that the East Portland community, by tangible action, such as dedicated resources, to carry out both short and long-term proposed East Portland improvements, and then revisit other city enhancements, such as the Sovy Island Bridge relocation. Thank you for your time.
My name is Dorothy Gage. I want to thank Mayor Potter and city council members for giving us an opportunity to express a point of view. I'm on a different wavelength. I'm a community activist. I'm not opposed to the preservation of the bridge, but I am opposed to the process. It was stated that, excuse my frog, most of which funding can be expended only for this project. However, no mention is made of the fact that approximately $1,500,000 are monies that were earlier earmarked to do selected CIP projects, in particularly the completion of the sidewalks from Multnomah Village to West Portland Town Center, and that was approved in 1996. And also just this last year, we were given some assurance on the CIP priority list that they would begin working on the issue of the intersection at Southwest Multnomah Boulevard and Garden Home Road. And prior to the CIP approval last year, some of us have been working on this project for 40 years. My testimony may not make a lot of sense because I've edited my remarks for your convenience, but my major concern is, as I've mentioned, is the process. This is reminiscent to me of the tram travesty. As has been stated, Phase 1 commits CUNY to cost increases. Phase 2 exposes taxpayers to another financial debacle. I submit that the council go back to the drawing board. This being a political year, there is motivation to present frivolous and enticing projects to the public. I would recommend that the failure to follow through on earlier commitments of funds exposes the lack of leadership for the total community. You are urged to table this issue, defeat it, or refer it to a vote of the people. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting us. My name is Marianne Fitzgerald. I live in Southwest Portland, and thank you, Mayor Potter and Commissioners, for holding this hearing today. We know that the City of Portland has many needs for transportation improvements, but limited resources. Southwest Portland has huge needs. It was built for dairy farmers and country homes. It was not built for the thousands of vehicles that drive through our area, particularly from Washington and Clackamas County, every day. The city is quick to acknowledge our needs, but slow to fund them. The Capital Highway Plan was adopted in 1996, and there are still three significant gaps in that plan that make it extremely dangerous for pedestrians and bicycles to ride that throughway, that corridor. Vermont Street was promised as a high priority in 1996, but it was recently removed from both the SDC list and the RTP list without notifying the residents of Southwest Vermont. There are no counts in Southwest Portland because people are afraid to ride their bikes. They cannot walk to school. The senior citizens cannot walk to bus stops or community services in the neighborhood. And of the dollars, I don't know the breakdown of the $61 million that Commissioner Adams mentioned, but frequently South Waterfront projects are included in Southwest Portland, and it is not it is part of our neighborhood, but we consider it more central city funding than Southwest Portland funding. In 2006, Commissioner Adams came to our neighborhoods and proposed that we fund our own improvements through a HALO LID process where the citizens would form local improvement districts and fund bicycle and pedestrian improvements ourselves. Our citizens rallied to the cause. We had a list of 10 potential projects, and four teams of citizens have spent two years trying to design cost-effective improvements on four busy arterials in Southwest Portland. A month ago, senior PDOT staff and I sent a letter to 5,000 citizens asking them to pay for their own sidewalks on these four segments. Then, in the middle of that, this news release came out about the city suddenly finding $5.5 million in city funds to pay for the Flanders Street Bridge. About 500 citizens came to the four open houses on the HALO LIDs, and they wondered, why is it that we're asked to fund our own bike and ped improvements, but the Flanders Street Bridge can have city funds for its improvements? It's a matter of priorities, and we need to fund basic services first.
Thank you, folks.
Next are Rick Potestio, Jeremy Grand, and Mary Roberts. They'll be followed by Doug Strickler, Beverly Vogt, and Chris Smith.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm Mary Roberts, and I live at Northwest 12th and Johnson. As a 10-year resident of Northwest Portland, I've witnessed an astonishing growth in population, vehicular traffic, transit use, pedestrians, and cyclists in the Old Town, Pearl, Uptown, and North Riverfront have all become homes to thousands upon thousands upon thousands of new residents. Northwest, always the most densest neighborhood in our city, has become even more dense, and it is not done yet. I wish to make 2 points relative to the bridge. I am in support of the bridge, and here is why. Burnside, Gleason, and Everett are unsafe for cyclists and pedestrians. As a 26-year bike commuter, I never, ever use those crossings, always preferring Johnson. There are people entering and exiting the freeway, and there's also buses using those corridors and coming in and out of the bike lanes. It's simply too dangerous. A bridge at Flanders supports and provides a safe alternative to pedestrians and cyclists. And by the way, it would be the only safe crossing in an 11-block area between Alder and Johnson. Secondly, this is an area where we have a great deal of people employed, and they have nowhere to use transit safely. So I would like you to consider that beyond the children that have been mentioned and the elders that are moving into the area, there are also many, many employees using this area and need a safe option. Thank you, Commissioner Adams, for listening to your city and looking at the data. And thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for making this project better by challenging how it's being funded. Delay does not make sense. Full support and funding does now.
Pardon me. I'm Jeremy Grand. I live in Southwest Portland in the West Portland Park Neighborhood Association. I'm here to oppose this project, not because it's a bad project. It's really a very fine project. It's just that there are more important projects. And I think you've heard this in the newspapers, and now you're going to hear it from several Southwest people and from people outside this area. I think I'm a little surprised when I hear that Portland has a platinum rating for bicycles or pedestrians. I was thinking, you know, on a scale of high to low, what is the rating of Southwest Portland? I'm reminded of what, I'm not going to tell you what my drill sergeant said in the Army, but it had to do with whales and what they deposit on the ocean floor. That's how bad ours is, our environment is. We would love to have an infrastructure as good as Northwest Portland has. It's an astonishingly fine sidewalk system. The streets are mostly paved. I think if you're worried about crossings over freeway ditches, you might look at I-5 between the tram and Southwest, 68th or 69th? I Googled this. There are 7 crossings. It's about 5.5 miles. If you do that arithmetic, it's less than 1 every half mile, I think. I know a perfect place to put this bridge. I think it's a great bridge. I think in the Burlingame area, there's a 15-block area between crossings where you could put this bridge, and we would welcome it. If you live anywhere near there, you know you can't walk. So I think the point was made that we have no high crash statistics because we don't have anybody walking. We can't walk. So thank you very much, and please redirect your priorities.
Hi, my name is Richard Potestio, and I live at 2211 Southwest Park Place. And I just want to start with a little bit of disclosure here. I'm an architect and a cyclist. For most of the last 20 years, I've commuted by biking or walking. I average 2 to 4 trips daily between my home and office using Everett, Gleason, Johnson, and on occasion portions of Flanders. I believe that Portland can become the leading model of sustainable lifestyles and urban design for this country. As such, I've worked to make Portland a city for bikes and pedestrians. I have served on state and city transportation advisory committees and on the board of the Sensible Transportation Options for People. As a bike commuter who discovered bike racing, I served as my team president and organized a recreational club. I'm the founder of the nation's largest bike racing series, the Cross Crusade Cycle Cross Series. This series is dedicated to celebrating Portland's diverse bike culture. In light of all this, it has come to a surprise to my friends in the cycling community that I question moving the Sovy Island Bridge to the Flanders I-405 intersection. I'm embarrassed to say that I may benefit more from this bridge than any of my colleagues who live in the East Side neighborhoods such as St. John's, Selwood, or Lentz. And herein lies my concern. Given all that our city must do to build on its platinum cycling rating, I question why this project has received such high prioritization. As an architect, I do not think this project meets the high standard of design, both technical and aesthetic, that should exemplify a project of this magnitude. I would like to illustrate some of the issues that I have pondered. In terms of location, it is my belief that Flanders is not a vital link between neighborhoods on either side of 405. Everett and Gleason streets are, but are less traveled than Johnson and streets to the north, and this is for one simple reason. Most of the dense residential employment centers are located north of Gleason, as are major institutions and connections to the Broadway Bridge and Forest Park bike trails. While Everett and Gleason provide access to the Esplanade and the Broadway Bridge, Flanders does not uniquely connect to any other destination or route. The future neighborhoods of the North Pearl, Terminal 1, and Conway blocks north of Lovejoy are north of Lovejoy. So by comparison, very little development is anticipated, new development is anticipated along Everett, Gleason, and Flanders. Therefore, Johnson and streets north are and will continue to be the primary routes to interconnect northwest neighborhoods and provide access to the east side and Forest Park. Safety is the most important concern we have as we welcome more cyclists and pedestrians onto our auto-oriented and dominated streets. High accident rates, including deaths, are cited to justify this project. However, these represent the defined Burnside corridor and not the Everett Gleason intersections at I-405 in particular. There can be no dispute that the Everett and Gleason intersections are not well designed for pedestrian or cyclist crossing. These intersections with freeway on and off ramps are designed to facilitate auto movement at the expense of all other modes. So regardless of whether we create a bike boulevard on Flanders, I think that Everett and Gleason intersections should be redesigned to incorporate sidewalks, cyclist-pedestrian activated signals, bike boxes, and reconfigured freeway on-off ramps. A key aspect of this proposal is that new intersections will be created on Flanders at 14th and 15th. Will these be significantly safer than improved crossings at Everett Gleason? During rush hours, cars stack almost the entire two-block length at 14th and 15th as they enter and exit the freeway. How will the inevitable congestion created by another set of intersections be addressed here? With regard to the financial aspects of the project, I leave it to the experts to decide relative costs of moving an old bridge versus building a new one. I will let them determine if improving existing intersections is less expensive than adding new ones at a new crossing. However, when I see that the funding sources include a $1 million federal grant intended to preserve historic and cultural assets, I look at the Sovie Island Bridge with a more critical eye. I would prefer that this grant had been requested to restore a more worthy structure.
Rick, you're going to have to speed it up.
We got to hear. So if you determine that Flanders is the right street to designate as a bike boulevard, I ask, could this new crossing be not just about recycling, but set a world-class standard for sustainable bridge design? Could it be the subject of a design competition on the order of our courtyard housing and integrated habitat competitions? Such a competition would celebrate our industries of design, engineering, metallurgy, and it would create a wonderful fusion of technology, art, and craft as exemplified by our handmade bike builders. Regretfully, it may be too late to send this proposal back, but I think that this should be the case.
Thanks, folks.
Next, we have Doug Strickler, Beverly Vogt, Chris Smith. They'll be followed by Marianne Schwab, Craig Roethler, and Alicia Crane.
Thanks for being here, folks. Please state your name when you speak, and you each have 2 minutes.
My name is Doug Strickler. I live in the Woodstock neighborhood of Southeast Portland. Thank you for the opportunity to address the council this morning, or this afternoon. I would like to testify in favor of the proposal to reuse the Sovie Island Bridge. And before I launch into an edited version of my testimony, I would like to make a point about the fact that bicyclists and motorists are not mutually exclusive categories. The fact that people who ride bikes also pay taxes and drive cars is part of the consideration. I would like a lot more of my tax money to go for bicycle improvements than it does. So the distinction of bicyclists as freeloaders, I think, is a false distinction. I know there's substantial opposition to providing another crossing of I-405 where there are crossings at Gleason and Everett. People look at the fact that there are intersections and assume that a crossing is a crossing, so what's the problem? Fact is that Gleason and Everett do not provide functionally safe crossings for those who would like to use them without a car. It's like knowing that people need safe and secure housing and saying, well, if it looks like a house, then it must be sufficient. But that's not the way this city or any city works. A house can't just look like a house with the assumption that it will provide safe and secure shelter. Other questions have to be asked about whether the wiring and plumbing are up to code. Does the roof leak? Is the building structurally sound? Deficiencies in any of these areas would typically make the house uninhabitable, but it would still look like a house. The same is true of the intersections and crossings in question. They look like intersections, but they do not function that way. In a larger sense, this is not about a single bridge at a single overcrossing of I-405. It is about one step in building a transportation system that is safe and accessible to everyone, regardless of their choice as to how they want to get around. If we don't take advantage of this opportunity now, it will be a long time before a similar chance is available. and waiting will ultimately increase the cost, both in terms of money and the likelihood of accidents with the present configuration. And there will be no benefit for that increased cost through all the years of waiting. The wise use of resources lies in addressing issues before they become more serious problems. I sincerely hope you will see your way clear to move this project forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Beverly Vogt. I live in Southwest Portland, an area that's severely deficient in sidewalks. I'm here to ask you to consider carefully the implications of your decision about funding the Flanders Bridge. In many parts of Southwest Portland, because of topography and the streams, we don't have a grid network of roads at all. Consequently, the few streets that go completely through from here to there are used by pedestrians, by cars, by trucks, by bicyclists. And they are very hazardous because most of them don't have sidewalks. So we walk on these roads. When we walk on the roads. If there's traffic, if there's a car on the road, we have to walk on the shoulder, which may be very narrow. And otherwise, we may have to jump into a ditch instead if there's no shoulder. And a ditch can be choked with vegetation or filled with water, as it is this time of year. And this is the way we walk in Southwest Portland, day or night, summer or winter. The increased cost of gasoline is forcing more and more people to have to take the bus. But to get to the bus in Southwest Portland, you have to walk on these neighborhood streets that don't have sidewalks. And it's very hazardous for many people to get even to the bus, to use the mass transit that we all recognize is what we need to be using. We in Southwest dutifully pay our taxes. We try to do the best things we can to get pedestrian amenities for our for Southwest. We're working on the Halo Lid. I'm working on the Hamilton Halo Lid. Hamilton has become a very dangerous street because many cars try to use it to avoid a really dangerous intersection that's not on your list, Commissioner. It's in Washington County. It's the intersection between Shoals Ferry, Beaverton-Hillsdale Highway. And so that is cars go on Hamilton to avoid that dangerous intersection. And we are doing the Halo Lid, but as we do it and we ask people to pay for it, they say they don't want to pay their tax. They say we pay our taxes. Why doesn't some of the money that we pay our taxes come back to our neighborhood to help solve the problems? Why do we have to pay for this? There's a perception that Southwest is wealthy, and parts of it are, but great parts of it are not wealthy. People are having a very difficult time financially now. They're having a hard time paying for these improvements. And so I understand the appeal of a project like the Flanders Bridge. It's interesting. It's going to make news. It's an appealing thing.
Ma'am, you're going to have to...
The safety of my neighbors is important, so think carefully about it. Thank you.
Gentlemen serving the council, my name is Marianne Schwab, a longtime advocate for children. And when the project first came out, thanks to Sam Adams, the Safe, Sound, Green Streets, we have safe routes to school. I walked the initial 7 of the 8 Bridal Mile. I did not walk. I had the pleasure of being a secretary out there. I knew the neighborhood well. I want you to know it's been reported to me that the Bridal Mile neighborhood chose not to follow through with gravel paths, which could be done now. They chose to wait, not use those dollars until they could get sidewalks. Portsmouth is very pleased that their project was upped. I'm very concerned that Safe Routes to School stay solid in funding. I'm very concerned. We talk of taxes, taxes, taxes. The last time I checked, the parents sending their children to Central Catholic and Central as well, they also pay taxes. This isn't a tax issue. This isn't a dividing the city issue. As you know, I've been here many, many times for the Recreation Center at Washington Monroe High School. I'm speaking for myself. I don't mind waiting another 3, 4, 5. It's going to take a levy to get that done. I understand the business and the crisis of the cycling here, this budget cycle. Please, please support this project. It is the best recycling we could do, and that's what Bob McAllister told me this morning. And I also want to thank Commissioner Dan Salzman for his due diligence in checking these figures twice, 3, 4 times, to avoid the woulda, coulda, shouldas, as we've had in the past, in reviewing that RFP so all citizens understand the funding sources. And I want to say one more thing. With children crossing those streets where Flanders is really needed, there are big semi-trucks and those big side mirrors. They could flip off onto the freeway down below. I don't want to go there. I don't want to wait and see cars not pay attention to our red lights. Our safety officers, Tom Potter, they need to maybe be out there ticketing a little more during traffic hours rather than checking paperwork between shifts. Maybe we need to get a little more tickets there. Thank you. Please, please, please push forward on this project. Thank you.
We have four more. Craig Roffler, Alicia Crane, Sharon Nassett. They'll be followed by Martha Perez.
Could you read the names again?
Right. We're looking for Sharon Nassett. And if she's not here, oh, here she is. Great.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes.
My name is Craig Roffler, and I live in Northwest Portland. I've been working in the Pearl District before it was a Pearl District for almost 25 years now, and I have biked about 20 of those years. And typically on this route that we're talking about today, Everett is something that I steal myself on every commuting day to cross over the 405. It's certainly been enhanced over the last few years, and I appreciate what Council has done with the biking programs in Portland, and you've certainly made some differences with that route, but it still is challenging. And I'm an experienced cyclist, and I still have to make sure I have my doubly aware when I cross that bridge. The transitions from bike lane to regular street are not what they could be. I have been yelled at, I have been cursed at that crossing because drivers simply don't like the bikers there oftentimes during the morning commute. It's very tense. I really appreciate that this project has come forward because I think it's an answer to the issues that are there, and not just for me personally, but also for friends of mine. I have a friend and colleague who has a daughter who goes to MLC and commutes across this route to meet her father downtown. And I sort of shudder that the fact that she has to cross this Everett Street crossing to get and commute to MLC. Anyway, I appreciate the work that's gone into this by Commissioner Adams. I appreciate putting this forward as you have because I think it's a great project. I think it'll enhance my commute, and it'll also make a much safer commute for a lot of folks who are using that route. I appreciate Dan Saltzman for figuring out the finances and making sure we're making a sense of all this, because I think it can be done. And I also urge the council to think about what it'll cost to do this in 5 years, which I'm very concerned about as well. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, commissioners, thank you for holding this hearing. My name is Alicia Crane. I am a member of the Portland Bike Advisory Committee, and I just wholeheartedly support this project. It's a great reuse of an existing structure. Why build something new when you can reuse something that already exists? And last summer, I worked up on Northwest 23rd and commuted from Northeast Portland and went down Northwest Everett every day. Almost every day, I would almost be hit at that intersection. And because of my due diligence and experience as a cyclist, I was able to avoid those collisions. But seeing your life flash before you every day is pretty unacceptable. And putting this intersection in there could reduce that and eliminate that for a lot of cyclists and create a lot of cyclists out of that 60% who is afraid to bike right now because of the lack of infrastructure in the city. Portland was just granted platinum status yesterday. What a great achievement. And as soon as that happened, Bike Portland was asking, what's next? What a great next step to do. Stay ahead of the rest of the nation in bike infrastructure and to be an example and to truly compare ourselves to international cities rather than U.S. cities. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. My name is Sharon Nassett. I live at 1113 North Baldwin, and I appreciate that we do have a council that listens to what the citizens come to say. I wish it wasn't a situation where it's some get something and some don't. I have absolutely total belief that the bike community and the citizens who walk or roll should have the adequate things in our town that get them from place to place that's safe. I believe, however, that we have to look at our priorities. What would $2 million give us? $2 million would give us a start on a new bridge across the Willamette, taking truck traffic out of St. John's, because it would give us an environmental location impact study, which means we could raise funds. I came down originally against the tram when it was around $8 million. I said, there's no way it's going to be $8 million. Absolutely no way. Tens of millions of dollars later, to build a bridge into our industrial area, the North Willamette, is about $250 million. I think we spent about $80 million on the tram. It's my guess when you look at all of the things that have gone into it, and that could have gone on to a new bridge. We have about 15,000 vehicles that come through the North Portland area. 2,700 of them are trucks. We've been waiting since 1960 for a new bridge to be built. Priorities have to be set. But we don't have sidewalks out there. We don't have sidewalks across Lombard at the I-5 freeway on both sides of the freeway to get to Max. We don't have crosswalks that adequately meet. So I am asking that you look at the fact that there are many other things that are in line first and that we put something. Wouldn't it be nice if we supported our business and our infrastructure and had that be Putnam, not just our bike, but our actual economy-based infrastructure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And our last testifier is Martha Perez.
Hi, good morning or good afternoon. I'm Martha Perez. I reside at 920 Northwest Kearney Street, number 110 in Portland, Oregon. I live in the Pearl District. I'm also running for public safety. And I've been listening to what everyone's been saying. I dedicate my public testimony to the victims of the Minnesota bridge crash and to the little boy that was recently killed on 82nd Avenue. I'm just going to target my statements. Homes, they're not being purchased due to lack of sidewalks. Sidewalks are part of our infrastructure. The Pearl District, I like it because they have the best sidewalks in Portland, and I also honor the concrete layers, the people who lay the concrete. That's an honorable job. Infrastructure must be prioritized. I think that this plan is on the path, is the is good intentions, but paved on the way to hell. I think we're using fear to try to approve this program. At first I liked it, but now that I know more about it, I question it. And the light rail, streetcar, I question we need to revisit the issue of light rail. Sidewalks are public works, streets, potholes are problems. Tax subsidies influence this, but with respect to economic development, is it truly being influenced by light rail? I believe in retrofitting buildings for earthquakes and bridges. We're known as Bridge Town, Puddle Town, City of Roses. Let's see what the Selwood Bridge, the Columbia River Crossing, I think about those things a lot. The tree canopy in Southeast Portland is an issue. The process has to be questioned. Withdraw this ordinance. Leach the minerals from this bridge to grow more local organic food on Savi Island to feed the increasing hungry Portlanders instead. Let's address McLaughlin Boulevard as well and the concerns. And the Columbia River Crossing could have been built underneath the river instead of being over the water. So these are my issues. I'm dedicated, and I feel like, the people have spoken. So, you're under the microscope now, Commissioner Adams. Thank you. And I use these to survive every day. I'm an experienced pedestrian with over 35 years. I don't use a gun to protect myself against getting hit every single day. I use these, a light gel when I have scrapes, and my whistle. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Lance Paler. I am in favor of the bridge. About me, when I got done with my master's degree in engineering, I got the opportunity to choose where I wanted to live because of my degree. I chose Portland for the one reason of bikes. So there's a lot of people like me that are around the country, around the world, that are going to look at Portland, especially now since we're platinum, and say, that's where I want to go. So I come over here and I find out that only, you know, less than 1% of the money that gets put into these funds of traffic actually goes to bicyclists. And the fact that in the newspaper 2 days ago they were talking about over, you know, 10% of commuters are on bike. So I don't understand why I'm a second class citizen. I mean, I pay my taxes, and most people that bike also drive. So it's not like they're not paying the taxes too. So I don't understand why I'm considered less of a citizen.